A mother walked into her son's room and said cheerfully, "Up, up, it's time to go to school." The son replied, "I don't want to go to school." "You have to go to school," the mother said. I hate that school. The kids are mean and rotten." "You still have to go," exclaimed mother. "It's like a jungle, one fight after another. They threaten me at least 100 times a day," cried the son. "You have to go to school." "Why do I have to go?" pleaded the son. "Because," replied the mother, "you're the teacher." Pastor, teacher, let's go. It certainly can be tough being a teacher. We hear a lot of things about teaching and teachers these days. It's tough being a student as well at times. There's a special relationship that grows between a teacher and a student nonetheless. It's a relationship that can and very often is life-changing for both the teacher and the student. Jesus is our teacher, and this morning I want to look at some of that, but I also want to take a look at some of the ways maybe in which he would have done some of that teaching in the background. And before we do that, I'd just like us to take a moment and pray. Let's bow our heads. Holy Spirit, we are really inviting you now to help us truly to calm our hearts and minds and to listen for that special word that you have for each individual here. It's an interesting thing that takes place on a Sunday morning when we hear Scripture and hear the Scripture being talked about, that there's individual things happening and there's a group thing happening. And that's pretty amazing when we put all that together. You're talking to us as a congregation. You're talking to us as part of the bigger church. And you're also talking to each one of us as an individual. But we have to be prepared to listen. And so help us to do that this morning, Lord. And give us the grace and strength that we need to hear your voice. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And the reason that we're looking at this teacher part is because of the comment that's made when they address Jesus in this gospel reading that we looked today and called him rabbi, which really just means teacher. And as I got thinking about this particular event that takes place and thinking about the life of Jesus, we kind of walk a balancing act in the sense that Jesus is the Son of God, fully aware of who he was and what was going on, and at the same time very much a human being. And finding the balance between the two can sometimes be a struggle. And we tend, I think, in general, lean towards the Son of God side of things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we forget about some of the pragmatic things that Jesus probably had to go through. He didn't just wake up when he turned 30 with spouting words of magic, so to speak, and wisdom. There was a learning period that took place, like any human would go through. And I want to read another scripture for you to give you an example of some of that background I'm talking about. This is from Luke. And it starts out this way. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. There's a lot of people in this entourage. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. I'm going to read that one. Sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, one of the things we miss when we just read the scripture as is probably all of the business that was going on. If any one of us left our child and couldn't find them, a 12-year-old couldn't find him for 3 days, the word anxious is only one word that's referenced in there. It'd be a little more than just a little one word referencing anxious. We'd be a little beside ourselves. And clearly they seem to be that way. And yet Jesus was learning at that point, and he was safely in God's house. And there's a whole story about that as well. Jesus had to learn some of the things that he did in order to become the teacher that he became and that we understand him to be. He had to grow into that in so many ways. He was blessed and anointed by God, and that's why I talked about that Messiah business, that the anointed one. He certainly was very much anointed by God. But he was a teacher, first and foremost, and he is a teacher for us in so many ways. I want to go back to this psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 40, and tell you that the real background to this psalm and where it's coming from is a story of David, and I briefly mentioned David, but in the book of 1 Samuel, we hear of a crazed and jealous King Saul who has cast David out of his court. This kind of information is what Jesus would have been learning when he was sitting with the rabbis in the synagogue. And in those days, the synagogue was not a place of worship. It was a place of learning. So he was at school with the teachers, if you want to put it that way. He was in God's school, learning from God's teachers. So he learned that in 1 Samuel, this crazed and jealous King Saul cast David out of his court. And Saul was so jealous of David's victories at battle up to this point that King Saul himself is now chasing David out into the wilderness of Kadesh. David has hundreds of faithful soldiers with him, but not enough to have a face-to-face encounter with Saul's army. David still loves and respects Saul as king, but he's clearly and very afraid of him. And Psalm 40 tells a story of a young David out in the wilderness with his troops of men hiding from this crazed king, exploring in the land, and suddenly he stumbles into a swamp. He's sinking into a mire, and he's all alone. And he cries out, "Help me, anybody, Lord, help me." And what we didn't read was verse 12. I want to read that for you because it's expressing this thought. "For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I can't until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me." He was trapped and was fearing for his life. And as I struggled with today's sermon, one of the things that came across very vividly, even right up to this morning, was this psalm that Jesus would have learned about, would have taught others about, and I think has, in that sense, a lesson. There's a lesson buried in that for us today. If we look at Psalm 40, in the ways that the rabbis would have and do today, in the ways that ministers look at it today, in the way we would do if we were having a Bible study, they would look at the sections within this psalm, expressing something of deep concern in our lives. And I have said countless times that of all of the scriptures that are contained within our Bible as we know it, the Psalms is one that I find that can speak to us no matter where we are in life. If things are going well, we've got psalms of praise and thanksgiving. If things are not going so well, we may not be in David's exact situation, but when things are not going so well, there's psalms that express those feelings very vividly, and there's a lesson to be learned in them. It's not just simply reflecting our particular position now, but there's a lesson there for us to learn from in how to grow and behave and act as people of God. And that song was very appropriate this morning, the anthem that he sang. Because God loves us, we are declared his people. And because we are his people, he loves us with an unending love. "I waited patiently for the Lord, who inclined to me and heard my cry. The Lord drew me up from the desolate pit out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." Those are words of somebody that's already gone through something and is saying that God helped me. I was stuck. I was drowning, I was overwhelmed, and put me on solid ground. But the lesson from that for us, the teaching that Jesus would have learned and would have expressed and would have been participating in when he sat with those rabbis in the synagogue, is that that's an after-the-fact statement of something that took place in the present moment. David was surrounded by King Saul's armies. There was no getting out of this. And when he felt the weakest, and when he felt the most overwhelmed by these odds, he can look back and say, "You know what, God helped me out of this situation." And it had nothing to do, there's no statement in that particular phrase, in that particular, even this whole psalm, to say that David did something in particular that made that happen. It just did. It did because of God's steadfast love for him. the call that Jesus has for the disciples, and that we read in the Gospel of John, all the Gospels, but in today's reading, the Gospel of John, had nothing to do with what they did conditionally to be called. It was something God did for them. It was something that Jesus did. Andrew followed Jesus because of something stirring in his heart, but he was welcomed because Jesus wanted him and Simon and others. The psalm also says, "The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God," further indicating that it wasn't anything David did. God put a new song in his mouth. Lesson for us is deep there. It's difficult. It's difficult to find the strength sometimes to get out of that muck and mire, get out of that position of being overwhelmed. But God can and does do this. You know, we are called, in many cases, we and the Jewish people are called the people of the book. And as we read through the New Testament, Paul and others who've composed the letters and lessons for us tell us that these things are written for a reason. These things are written to teach us and remind us of things that people have gone through in the past, just like David did, and where God took them out of that miry bog and set their feet on a rock, making their steps secure. We have evidence of past events in this book, and looking around this room, there's people in this room that can tell the same story. There have been situations each one of us have been in where God has intervened, put all of us on steady ground. It's there for a reason to encourage us. That's what Jesus, as a teacher, was trying to instill in his disciples. You got to trust God, and here's why, and here's how and why we can trust God. Because in situations in the past, he's conquered, and he saved you because you are his people. You are loved through his steadfast love. You are loved by God. Each one of us can tell a story of where we were in a corner and God got us out, so to speak. That's evidence for us in the present moment and moving into the future to know that, well, if he worked back then and he worked in all of these lives and all of these lives in this room, he'll work again when I'm faced up against it one more time. What do I need to do? Well, just like I said with the boys and girls this morning, the answers are very obvious to us in so many ways. We want to make it more complicated maybe than it is, but the idea is we've got scriptures, for instance. We've got lessons in Psalms, for instance, where David simply trusted God and God worked out this matter for him. And it wasn't easy. See, I guess the struggle for me in my personal life always is that it always sounds easy. One of the things that I found frustrating in reading books about Christians' lives in the past for me is the struggle I've had is it's an after-the-fact account. And it sounded like easy. And I guess that's why sometimes I find myself referring to television media and whatnot, but there's a connection point between the two. In that, no matter what struggle we may be facing, in 24 and a half minutes, it'll get resolved. So when we read these Christian books about lives, about missionaries or individual Christians, and we read their lives, their whole life is resolved in a book about that thick. You can read that in an afternoon. But there's a lifetime of struggle often that's wrapped up in that. There's a lifetime of struggle that we miss very often, because we think it just happened overnight. When we read this psalm and understand the background, that the teaching that Jesus was trying to learn and instill and share again today, David didn't just get stuck in the mud and then a little bit later he got out. There was a long-term struggle. David was in the desert for months running from Saul. When he said he was stuck and felt in a desolate pit and in a miry bog, those are fancy words to say something took a really long time and was hard to resolve. And we can't always necessarily connect to that in the timeline, but the teaching that's here is it doesn't happen necessarily overnight. God's answer in our lives sometimes takes a while. And maybe that's part of the mire and bog that we get stuck in. Because when it doesn't happen yesterday, we tend to give up, don't we? We do like things to happen fast. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. Further lesson for us. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust. Simple statement to make. Yet in practice, and David knew the practice, hard to do. Hard to do. David had to work hard with God's help at trusting and not panicking and not freaking out and not trying to come up with another plan and not trying to get an escape route worked out, but trusting God. It's hard to do that, folks. And I speak from real experience on this. And I know I'm digressing here a bit, but you know the struggles I've had over the years with my health. And it's been hard for me to trust God all the time in that. It's been really hard. But I know and work hard at leaving it in God's hands as much as possible. So I'm speaking from personal experience in that sense too. And I know we all are. Again, I could walk up to any one of you and you could tell me a similar story where you've been struggling with something, but you know, coming here on Sundays and praying and reading scriptures has made a difference because God's made a difference in your life. But those who make the Lord their trust are blessed. The challenge for us today, I believe, is understanding that Jesus is a teacher, but he's more than just a teacher in that sense. He's more than just a rabbi. His life is an example to us of how to live. His life is an example when we think of that human side of him, which is where I was trying to go originally with this, is that when we think of the human side of him, he must have feared. We know he did. It talks about that in Gethsemane, in the Easter event. He was struggling hard to trust and stay focused. The God side of him knew what was going to be happening in the long run. But the human side of him struggled with that. And that's how we can connect to him, and he connects with us. He asked the question of the disciples that were passing by him in this gospel reading today, what are you looking for? So the question, I think, for us, listening to this teaching from the Psalm, looking at Jesus' life, understanding him as that great teacher for us, what are we looking for? What is it we're looking for when we are in relationship with Jesus? Jesus is here to guide us, to help us, to forgive us, and strengthen us. He is here to put our steps, our feet on a solid rock, and make our steps secure in so many ways. So when Jesus is asking us this very question that he asked today in this gospel reading, what is it you're looking for? What are you looking for? Well, think about that. And trust God for the answer. And trust God to move us from here to that safe, secure rock that he gives us.